Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, and welcome to Finish Well Radio. I'm so excited that everyone is tuning in right now, and maybe you're listening to it on iTunes months after we record, but today we're here, and we are talking about my very favorite place in the whole world, and that is heaven. And I have a very special guest, my very favorite husband. He's my only husband, and he's also my pastor, and he has been preaching on heaven, and I said, honey, this stuff is so good. You have to share it with people. And so this is not just for teens. This is not just for parents of teens, but this is for every person out there. We all wonder, well, what is it like after we die and go to heaven? So before we get started, Mike, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thank you, Meredith. Again, my name is Mike Curtis. I pastor an awesome, awesome church called Powerline Community Church. And we are here in the Lake Mary Sanford area of Metro Orlando. Really have a heart for homeschooling, discipling, moms, dads discipling their kids, old people discipling young people and the like. And we really have an awesome church. I am married to my sweetheart here. We're going to be celebrating our 31st wedding anniversary this coming June 9th. We have five gorgeous, absolutely amazing children. One of them got married a year ago and has a little one, so I'm now a grandpa. Amazing. And we love our homeschooling journey. And so tonight, however, we're going to be not talking so much about homeschooling, but maybe that reward that we will receive, maybe we could look at it that way, from all of our diligence, not just in homeschooling, but all of our hard work here on earth. What will that reward look like? We're going to be, I'm looking forward to talking to you about heaven. So here's my wife.
And you can find Pastor Mike at the church website, powerlinecc.com. And also you can find books that he has written on powerlineprod.com. I know that some people listening right now, you truthfully imagine heaven to be a bunch of clouds where we sit and play harps. And, oh, I'm so sorry to disappoint you, but I'll let Mike do that. Mike, what is heaven really like?
Meredith, that is really an excellent question. And the honest truth is that most of us have developed our understanding and pictures in our minds of what heaven is like based on paintings, many of them from the Middle Ages and earlier. And what I encourage people to do is just take a moment and ask yourself this question, what does heaven look like? Picture it in your mind. And the truth is most people, when they think about heaven, they think about clouds, they think about harps. Isaac Asimov, in fact, was aware of this. He is a humanist atheist. He wrote some excellent short stories, but he said, the only thing worse than my fear of hell is my fear of heaven, because it will be so boring. And he really touched on a nerve there, because many Christians truly view heaven as something that's boring. And I just want to start by saying tonight, heaven is anything but boring. Heaven will be the antithesis of boring. Heaven will be the place that you will have not just so much fun, but you will thoroughly enjoy heaven. And it's not because heaven is going to be all about me having fun, but heaven is truly about honoring Christ and doing what we were created to do with the curse and sin removed. No more death, no more dying, no more sorrow, and being able to do those things that we truly, truly enjoy. Now, I don't know about you, most people, as I say, they picture heaven as a place of clouds, many jokes, and I'll even tell some jokes about when you go to heaven and you stand before St. Peter and he says, before I let you into heaven, and et cetera. And the truth is, the Bible does not talk about clouds anywhere with regard to heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about two heavens. It talks about the present heaven, which is in the throne room of God. And then when Jesus returns, there's the judgment, and then we receive our resurrection bodies into a new earth. That new earth is where we will be spending our time forever and ever, and that is going to be called heaven, heaven on earth. So there is the present heaven, and then there is the heaven on earth to come. Most people, you know, they have this understanding of heaven as what's really the present heaven. A lot of books have been read about people dying, coming back from the dead. I'm not going to really be touching on that tonight, but many of them, I need to be honest with you, they come back with some really weird theology about stuff that they've seen. Some have even confessed they made it up. I'm not here to tell you who's been making it up and who's not, but all I know is that I personally want to derive my understanding of heaven from the Bible. So I am going to spend the majority of my time talking to you about what heaven is going to look like here on earth, more than what heaven looks like right now. Now let me just say that heaven right now is before the throne of God. It is a place where there are angels, thousands and thousands, and as scripture says, 10,000 times 10,000 angels. There are people worshiping before him, but we are not going to, we are actually, when we die, our spirit immediately goes to that heaven and our body goes into the ground. And it is not until our bodies are resurrected that we receive our resurrection bodies. And that's very significant. I'm going to come back to that because most people don't understand what this resurrection body is and the vast implications of that resurrection body here on this, that renewed earth. But when we die, our spirit goes to heaven, and we will have what's commonly called a disembodied spirit. That means a spirit that has no body. We can still see it. We are going to be worshiping before God. It's just that we will not have our resurrected body. That will come later. What I want to do, though, is I want to now paint for you a picture of this heaven that we're going to experience when we are resurrected from the dead. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 actually says that it is for that heaven that we were created. I believe we were created to experience the power and the grace and the love of God in this world, and to be able to develop what I'm going to call a story of God's grace. And that is something that we will have with us throughout eternity. Now, as I say, most people, they view that heaven, or heaven in general, as a place of cloud. Let me just tell you that that is not what heaven is like in any way. First of all, let me just point you to two scripture passages that are going to help clear some of this misunderstanding up. Number one, Matthew 19:28 uses a term called the renewal of all things. And that Greek word for renewal literally means a regenesis. Now, where is Genesis in your Bible? Isn't that at the beginning? And it's at the beginning that God created man and woman. He created them with a purpose. But because of the fall, we then experienced God's curse. We came under that curse of sin, and we've been having to live that out. God is saying there's going to come a time in which we will experience a regenesis of all things. Well, what on earth is he talking about? A more literal translation would be re-beginnings. There's only one time in history in which we will ever experience a re-beginnings, and that's going to be at that time in Revelation chapter 21, where it says God created a new heaven and a new earth. Now, it doesn't mean a new heaven like a new throne room of God. He is talking about the universe. God is going to recreate the stars, the universe. 2 Peter 3 bears this out as well. And he's going to create a new earth. He is going to re-begin what he began back in Eden. It also says in Acts 31 that Christ will remain in heaven until the restoration of all things. And again, I'm going to say there's only one time in which God is going to truly restore, that is, bring to perfection again, in which he will restore all things. And that is going to be at this re-beginning. And he's going to restore everything. He's going to restore his creation. He's going to restore you, and he's going to restore me. And that means then that this new earth that we are going to be dwelling on forever and ever and ever is going to be a paradise restored. And actually, in the Septuagint, that word paradise is used for the Garden of Eden. It is a paradise. And that paradise is what we are going to, that God is going to be recreating, except the curse is going to be lifted. God is going to recreate this earth. It is going to be a paradise. It is not going to be filled with a bunch of clouds and harps. Actually, there will be harps. There will be thousands upon thousands of instruments that God will have people be playing. There's going to be so much that we're going to do, but I'm not going to get into that. That's a later question I'm going to answer. But this new earth that we're going to be inhabiting is going to look very much like this one, except there will be no death. There will be no dying. Our bodies will not wear out. We will have our resurrected body. Now, I want you to think about this, because I'm taking a little while here to answer this question, because I'm setting this up for us to understand this new heaven and then what our new bodies will look like. The earth, again, will be very much like it is now, or at least what it looked like in the Garden of Eden. And it was an absolute paradise throughout God's creation. Apart from the fall, sin and the curse had not touched it. That is what this earth will look like that we will inhabit. But we're going to receive our resurrection bodies. And Jesus, or Paul, tells us that it is a spiritual body. Now, that doesn't mean a spirit body. It's just not going to be a natural body. He actually contrasts in 1 Corinthians 15 a natural body with a spiritual body. And it is that type of spiritual body that Jesus had. Jesus even said, look, you know, touch me, feel me. You know, I've got flesh and bones just like you. You know, you can feel me and touch me. However, his resurrection body could not die. His resurrection body would not be able to decay. It would last forever. And Philippians 3:21 says that our resurrection body will be just like his glorious body. It will be a spiritual body, one that cannot perish. And so now I want you to think about the implications of that. If we are going to have this body that is going to be recreated and completely restored so that it will be imperishable, if we go back to Genesis chapters 1 and 2, the Bible says that we were created in God's image. And if we were created in God's image, and our salvation story is about a partial restoration of that image as we are trying to reflect the Father and His Son Jesus more and more, imagine what heaven on earth is going to be, where we reflect him all the more as we were originally created to. So that means that if God is a God of beauty, that on that new earth, we are going to long for beauty. If God is a God that creates, then there will be something in us that will long to create. There will be something in us that will long for art and beauty. There will be something in us that wants to explore. There will be something in us that wants to grow in knowledge and understanding. And many people believe that, you know, when we reach heaven, we're going to have complete knowledge. And but I've got news for you. There's only one person, and that's God, who has complete knowledge. He's the only one who's omniscient. And if we are not going to be omniscient, then that means we will have room to increase in knowledge. And so heaven is going to be a place where we're going to learn. We're going to be able to grow in our understanding. Our relationship with Christ will be completely restored. But that doesn't mean that we're going to suddenly know everything. Now, heaven is going to be a place in which there will be a lifelong opportunity to explore and learn and grow in these things. So I hope beginning to paint a picture for you of what this beautiful earth with waterfalls and mountains and green grass and just about any beautiful place that you can imagine. That is what this new earth is going to be like. And this body that we're going to receive that will never perish, it will more perfectly reflect the very image of God that we bear today.
Well, then, besides learning new things, what and creating, what other things will we do in heaven?
That's also an excellent question, because I'm going to tell you right now, many people believe that heaven is just going to be a perpetual vacation in which we're going to rest, and the Bible does say we're going to rest, but we are going to have a work to do. And the work is a four-letter word. It is still something that God created for us to do before the fall. So work is a good thing. I believe the work that God is going to give us to do is going to be absolutely enjoyable. If you could think of the most enjoyable hobby that you have, maybe you enjoy playing golf, your work that you're going to do is going to be more enjoyable than playing golf on the back nine. Vacation is certainly going to be a part of it in which we enjoy what God has created. But I don't want us to think that we're not going to be doing anything. We will be doing it. We will be doing something. Let me refer you, in your Bibles, if you would, to the story of the minas and then the story of the talents. The parable of the talents is in Matthew chapter 25. And in that parable, these people, they were the one who was faithful with his five and added five more. Jesus turned to him and said, "Well done, good and faithful servant, you may enter into my joy." And it says that you have been faithful in little, I will make you faithful in much. So that phrase, faithful with little, that word with actually implies this concept of being responsible. You've been responsible for this little. You've been faithful with this little. Now I will put you in charge of much. And in the parable of the minas that is very similar to that, the blessing is actually, I will put you in charge of 10 cities. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but when you're put in charge of something, you've got work to do. So that means in heaven, though we've been faithful with some here on earth, he is going to give us awesome opportunities to be in charge. And the Bible even uses terms like ruling and reigning, that God is in our work, whatever we do, it may be overseeing people or parts of his creation, animals, but we are going to have a work to do in which we will oversee. That was the original mandate that God gave Adam and Eve, that they would be able to subdue the earth and that they would rule over the fish of the sea, rule over the animals. This is, in part, going to be what we will do. And there will be some who will oversee perhaps 10 cities. Though we may be faithful in little now, God will allow us to be faithful in much then. So that includes a lot of work. Now, I always like to explore the implications of some things, and here's, the Bible says that God is going to create a new heavens. Now, I want you to imagine going outside tonight here in Orlando, Florida. It's not dark yet, but when it gets dark, going outside and you look up, what do you see? You see a bunch of stars, white, shiny dots in the sky. Now, did you realize that those bright spots in the sky are more than just a star, but they are actually galaxies? They're galaxies. There's millions of stars. Literally, there's probably billions of stars up in that sky that you can see. Now, my question is, why would God recreate the heavens if they are simply going to be pretty little white dots in the sky? I believe that God is going to allow us to have opportunities to grow in our knowledge, to invent, explore. And my question is, why would God tie us down to this earth? Why would he not allow us, in our desire to truly reflect his image in this way, to create spaceships, create ways of travel, and be able to travel to distant galaxies? You know, in Isaiah 9, 7, it says, concerning Christ, of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. Now, if that is true, and that were to take that literal, then that means Christ's rule, his government, will continue to increase, and it's not going to end at his return. It's not going to end after judgment. It's going to continue on into the new heaven and the new earth. And my question is, how will his rule continue to increase forever and ever and ever? I mean, he has a vast universe in which we can extend that rule that he gave to us to do in Genesis chapter 1, in subduing his creation and bringing his rule to it. So I believe there's going to be plenty of opportunities for us to explore and invent and go to distant places in his creation, but also places here on earth that we're going to be able to explore, work that we're going to have to do. But the most significant thing, that the type of work that he's going to give us to do, is in this whole area of serving. I believe we're going to be able to create things and do things, music and a variety of things, to be able to serve and give to others. And so this new earth and this heaven that we're going to enjoy with one another is not simply going to be about me and me having fun. The greatest joy that I have as a dad and a husband is being able to see my wife and my children have fun and enjoy themselves. And I have more fun when I have opportunity to serve them and they have fun. And I believe that's what heaven is going to be like. It is going to be completely Christ-centered and other-centered. And in that work that we have to do, we will find the greatest fulfillment ever.
Two questions together. What will we look like, and will we recognize other people?
What will we look like, and will we recognize one another? Well, you know what? I believe that when I die and God refashions my body in the new earth, I am going to look just like me, only better. That's a good thing, in my opinion. When God created, here's something to think about. When God created Adam, how old was Adam? Was he a little baby? Was he an old man? No, he was of the age in which he was mature enough to reproduce. And so whatever age that would look like, that is probably the age that we will be throughout eternity. We will never grow old. Our bodies will never wear out and wear down. If we could get tired in heaven, we're going to be able to be restored right away and refueled and retooled and ready for another adventure. But we are going to be able to, we will look like ourselves. You know, there's a story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 16, and it's the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And when Lazarus is in Hades, he looks across this vast gulf into what Jesus calls Abraham's bosom, and he sees Lazarus, and he even calls his name Lazarus. And my question is, if we didn't recognize one another, if we looked so totally different, how would the rich man have been able to recognize Lazarus? I do believe we're going to be able to recognize one another. I do believe we're going to be able to have awesome relationships with the people that we're close to right now, and friendships beyond that. There will be endless friendships that we're going to be building that we'll have forever and eternity to grow in those relationships. But I believe I'm going to look like me, the best me possible, that my wife is going to look just like she does because she looks the best possible. I believe that we're going to be able to recognize one another. And when God recreates us, I will have so much of my memories from the past. I think people have misunderstood when the Bible talks about not remembering the former things in Isaiah 65. It says, and you shall not remember the former things. The former things is not everything about our past life. God is not trying to tell us that we're going to forget everything. Can I say this to you? I will remember my salvation story. You will remember your salvation story. In Revelation 15, the Song of Moses, he talks about the mighty, marvelous acts of God. When did God do those acts? He did those acts here on earth, and they were testimonies to his goodness, his greatness, and his grace. Those are things that in heaven will be remembered and songs will be sung about. Excellent musicians, far better than what we are capable of now. If some of you musicians out there, you're going to be able to play vast numbers of musical instruments. I'm hoping I'm going to be able to learn even more than just the guitar up there in heaven, but vastly more accomplished. And our memories are going to be so strong. We'll remember everything. But more important, we're going to be remembering all of those good things that God did for us here on earth. So what are those former things that we're going to forget? The verse just before that passage of Isaiah 65:17 that says that the former things will be forgotten, he uses this phrase, the past troubles. That's in verse 16. It is the past troubles that we will forget. And I believe just like God in his omniscience forgets, it's not that it slips his mind, it's just that he is able to choose to not remember our sins anymore. If you're a Christian today, the Bible says God has not only forgiven your past sins, he has forgotten them. And it's only because he has chosen to forget them. I believe we too will be able to choose to forget or not remember those past troubles that Isaiah 65:16 talks about. Those are the former things that we will not remember, because they are the things that will bring pain and heartache and struggle and tears, and all of those tears will be wiped away. So I'm going to remember my past life and my marriage and my children, my relationships, and all of these awesome things God has done for me. And I'm going to remember them, and I'm going to tell stories about them. We're all going to tell stories, and those stories are going to be filled with the grace acts of God in our lives.
We're going to take a commercial break, and then we will be right back, and we'll talk about marriage in heaven and animals, and do we eat in heaven? So all that when we come back.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workshops like Real Men Build. Pastor Mike and Meredith Curtis, along with their daughter Katie Beth Curtis, have written this comprehensive Bible study to help men of all ages grow in leadership in the home, in the church, and in the world. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions. Being world changers, raising world changers.
In all my years of attending Finish Well conferences, I found that it's more than just homeschooling. It's learning how to live.
Finish Well 2015, July 10th and 11th. Visit finishwellcon.com for more information. Been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Pastor Mike Curtis about heaven. And Pastor Mike, are there animals in heaven? And what about our pets?
Good question, Meredith. Are there animals in heaven? Well, let me just say that when the Bible speaks of heaven, such as in Isaiah 65, there's a list of a number of animals that we encounter there, even the wolf, the lamb, and such. And these types of animals, though, totally tamed. I want you to imagine, what did God's creation look like when he first created this earth? And on day six, when he created all the animals, those animals were not hostile. Those animals were, the best word I could use would be domesticated. Now, I say that because it was Adam's original job to name the animals, and God brought the animals to him. Now, I don't know about you, when God brought the Tyrannosaurus Rex to Adam and he named it, if I were in Adam's shoes, I'd be a little bit terrified. Unless the Tyrannosaurus Rex was a domesticated animal. Unless the Tyrannosaurus Rex was a tame or a docile type of animal. Now, after the fall, sin entered the world. Many of them became carnivores, but these were animals that originally were not afraid of man. They were docile. Those types of animals, and I believe that when I'm in heaven and you're in heaven on earth, we are going to see dinosaurs. God originally created the world with dinosaurs. God originally created the world with all kinds of cats and dogs and horses and a variety of animals, animals that live in the sea, fish, you name it. That is what this world is going to be filled with. And even as God gave the original mandate to Adam to rule over them and to reign on this earth, we will do that in the coming heaven on earth. That will be our job. So are there going to be animals in heaven? Absolutely. And you know, when you ride that horse, maybe you don't know how to ride horses. I've ridden them only a few times. It's going to be an absolute delight to ride that horse. It's going to be fast. That horse is going to obey your commands. Sin and the curse is going to be completely lifted. That really is almost an impossible task for us to accomplish, to imagine what this earth would look like with sin and the curse lifted. But, you know, we try to do the best we can. I mean, it's almost like trying to explain what the color red looks like to a blind person, one who's been blind all of their life. They really can't do that. So we're doing the best we can to imagine what would earth, what would life, what would I look like with sin and the curse lifted. We're going to be experiencing animal life all around us, but it's a very different type of animal life than we experience now with the sin and curse lifted. Animals that are friendly and that we're going to enjoy, and even pets. I believe we're going to have pets in heaven. Why not? Now, the question is, though, here on earth, will we have pets? Our pets, will we see them in heaven? Now, that may be a little bit more difficult question to answer. And I'm not going to say that God couldn't do it, but what I do know is that only man is made in the image of God, and only man will be receiving their resurrection bodies. Now, could God create a Fido that's just like that dog that you once owned? I'm sure that he could. I'm sure that he could. God could do anything. But there's going to be ample opportunity for us to have pets in heaven. Will that special pet that we have be resurrected? And the Bible tells us that only we ourselves, as image bearers of God, will be resurrected. But the animals that we'll experience in heaven, they may be very, very much like the pets that we've had on earth. But I'm kind of anticipating that it's going to be even better.
So exciting to think about heaven. The one question that young people think about a lot, I know, and in fact, someone just asked you this, Mike, in your Testament survey class, is there marriage in heaven?
You know, Jesus was asked that question, except he was asked it with a story, and I won't get into the story, but his conclusion to the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection, his conclusion was there absolutely was a resurrection. However, they had a complete misunderstanding of the resurrection and of the power of God and marriage. And so their whole argument to try and set Jesus up, to stump him, was based on a misunderstanding of marriage in heaven. And Jesus concluded, he said that there will be no marriage in heaven because we will be like the angels. Now, we're not going to look like angels, but with respect to marriage, we will be like angels. Now, I am going to have a little appeal to God that maybe he would allow us to experience babies in heaven. I just had a grandson, and one of my favorite pastimes is holding him, just adoring my grandson. So I've got a little thing on my wish list, God, maybe you could allow babies in heaven. But the truth is, even though as much as I love my wife, in heaven, we will not be married. Now, that's a little bit of a disappointment. For many people, they're looking forward to getting married. Even those of us who are married, no marriage in heaven. Wow. But here's a truth that I want you to try and digest. The physical is always a reflection of the spiritual and not the other way around. The spiritual is not a reflection of the natural, but the natural is a reflection of the spiritual. Within the Godhead, there is relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, as in the Spirit, God created this relationship between Christ and the church, where Christ is seen as the husband and the church as the bride of Christ. And we are to have that type of husband-wife relationship. Can I be honest with you, as a guy, that's a little bit difficult for me to grasp, but I think I understand the significance of what Christ is getting at. It's the intimacy of that relationship. Now, I did say that the natural is a reflection of the spiritual. So when God created Adam and Eve, he created them to experience that intimate type of relationship that we were meant to experience with God. And so, even though it's a disappointment, man, no marriage in heaven, let's understand this, that we are going to have such an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, the Father, the Spirit, such an intimate relationship with our God, that marriage, believe it or not, that relationship will pale in comparison. And you know, just with regard to the romantic, that aspect of love, all I can say is this, that the love that we will experience in heaven with God, and in some fashion, that love that we will experience with others, it will pale in comparison. Our relationships in marriage would pale in comparison to it. It will be so much better, so much purer. And so, again, the natural is only a reflection of the spiritual, and it is that spiritual, intimate relationship that will carry on forever and ever into all of eternity. And I think that's something that we can look forward to, that relationship with Christ. The struggles that you're experiencing right now in your relationship with God, those are going to be gone. That inability at times to connect with him, maybe in prayer or worship, that's going to be gone. When you pray, when you worship, when you talk to God, instant connection, instant sense of his presence right there. He's going to be with us everywhere. God says he's going to dwell with his people. It's not just going to be a distant type of relationship. It's going to be the most intimate type of relationship that we could ever, ever have. And so, even though marriage, not being in heaven, somewhat of a disappointment, I can only say this, that the love that we're going to have with God will be so much more.
That is something to look forward to, so much to be so close to the Lord. Now, every guy that is listening to this is wondering this question: will we eat in heaven?
You know what, Meredith, I can be, I'll be totally honest with you, when you start talking about food, I'm already getting hungry here. I haven't eaten dinner, and I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to it. But I believe that we will have appetites in heaven. I believe we will eat in heaven. Not only will we eat in heaven, but understand that even though we reflect in Christ right now, we reflect the image of God in part, and we're growing in that restoration of the knowledge of the image of God Scripture talks about. In heaven, we will perfectly reflect that image of God. So God created food. God created us with this desire to create. We are going to be able to create foods far better than what we can here on earth. We will be able to create, bake the most delicious foods that you could possibly imagine eating. I'm looking forward to that. I have a wife who is an awesome cook, four girls who have learned from their mom to cook and bake, and in heaven, they're going to be even better. I believe that the cultures, the diversity amongst mankind that God created is going to be present in heaven as well. I'm going to bring my culture with me. I'm going to learn about hundreds, if not thousands, of other cultures. But a part of those cultures is the language they speak, yes. The clothes that they wear, yes. But also the food that they make. And I believe we're going to have the opportunity to experience all different varieties of food. Not just the ones, the cultures, here on this earth presently, but mankind's been around for 6,000 years. Imagine all the cultures and all the varieties of dishes that they've been able to create. We're going to be able to experience them in heaven. Now, in Isaiah 35, there's a passage there that Paul quotes in 1 Corinthians 15 that says that death has been conquered forever, and it has been overcome. And that's the passage where he says, "Where, O death, is thy sting?" And he says that is a quote from Isaiah 35. And in that immediate context that's right there in Isaiah 35 talking about heaven, he talks about feasting. And that certainly implies food. So other passages that talk about food, Jesus says that we will be feasting in the kingdom to come. So will there be food? Absolutely. And I believe that it will be the most delicious tasting food ever. I'm going to come with my appetite. Understand this, though. It's not like we have to eat in order to live, because our bodies aren't going to perish. But God is going to allow us to enjoy this food because he created us that way to enjoy it.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And I know I can't wait to go to heaven. It is so exciting, and it really is a focus in my own life and has been for many years. Mike, people are listening, and some of them don't know if they're going to heaven. How can people know that their citizenship is in heaven and that they are going to get to go to heaven one day?
You know, there's a scene in Revelation chapter 5 that's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And the question is asked in heaven, who is worthy to open the seals, the seven seals? And no one was found. And it grieved John, and the angel turned to him and told him in so many words, "Don't worry, one has been found." And it says John saw one like a lamb standing in the center of the throne who was worthy. And a song began to be sung, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Because by his blood he purchased men for God from every language and tribe and people and nation, to be priests and a kingdom to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And that Lamb is Jesus, and he came to this earth with the express mission to die on a cross, to shed his blood, so that by the shedding and the sacrifice of his life, we might gain life. Now, I spoke a few minutes ago about a relationship with God and how intense and awesome and very emotional I believe that it will be in heaven. But we can experience that type of relationship right now, here on earth. And the Bible says that the means by which we enter into that relationship is through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus, he doesn't invite us to simply believe him. He invites us to believe in him. And there's a difference. Many of us, like myself, I grew up learning about Jesus. And I knew the Apostles' Creed. I knew that he had come and died on the cross for the sins of the world. And the Bible actually even says that the demons know all of this, but they tremble. And there's one difference between what the angels believe and what I believe. I believe that what Jesus said is true, but I believe in Jesus. See, I've repented. By the grace of God, I've turned from my sin. I've given my heart to Christ. The demons have never done that. I realized at age 14 that I knew about Jesus, but I didn't really know Jesus. I believed Jesus and who he was, but I didn't really believe in Jesus. And it's when we believe in Jesus that we're transformed. It's when we believe in Jesus that our sins are forgiven. It's when we believe in Jesus and we surrender the rule and reign of our lives to him as our King, as our Savior, as our Lord. That's when I did that at age 14, I became born again. And the Spirit of God came in me and transformed me and made me a new creation in Christ. I would invite you tonight, if you have never experienced that type of a relationship with the God that created you, whose express purpose was for you to spend forever with him in heaven, if you've never done that, let me challenge you right now. Put your faith in Jesus and surrender your life to him. He created you to have a relationship with him, and that's how you do it. Lay your life down on the altar. Allow him to take control. Believe in Jesus. That's how you get to heaven.
Thank you so much for joining us, Pastor Mike. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We hope you'll join us next month when we're going to be talking about the Finish Well Conference and what makes it so wonderful. And in the meantime, we hope and pray you'll have a wonderful month. And for all of you out there who have moms that are still on this side of heaven, be sure to let them know how much you love them. God bless you and have a wonderful night.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Purvis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.